Goblin at 4.3. Good times and great classic hits. The Grubby and Didi Breakfast Show. We're just living on a prayer here because Tony Martin's here. 20 to 9, he's here to talk about his brand new book.
Yes.
Nest of Occasionals. Tony Martin, congratulations on it. A great follow-up to Lolly Scramble.
Thank you very much, Grubby. The last time I was here, I think Didi and I were working together because you were right. Having a procedure.
We go back to the colonoscopy day?
Do you know what? I think it's good to mention it, Tony, because it raises awareness
it does.
Of bowel cancer.
That's right.
You'd had yours done and I had mine done.
I've had mine done. In fact, in this book, there is a chapter which talks about how I have had all five cameras that the man can have inserted into
five?
His body.
Is there five?
Get out. There's a chapter called Access All Areas. In which I talk about, yes, all five of them. I know everyone at home's thinking now, going, hang on, I can count four.
I know.
Yeah, that's
there's
right.
Lungs, there's stomach,
that's
there's
right.
up the nose for down the back of your throat.
That's right.
There's the one Grubby had, and there is a fifth, even worse one.
Yes?
There is.
Is it a tiny, tiny, skinny little camera?
I was sitting, this was 20 years ago. I should point out this happened over a 20-year period.
Yes.
Although what I thought was it'd be great if you could have them all done at once. All five cameras and sort of turn yourself into the Big Brother house and maybe organs could be voted out of your body.
That's right. Cameras.
But the one we're talking...
they're talking to each other. Which one?
It's well, let's use the phrase. If you hear the phrase penile cystoscopy, gents, that's when you really should start worrying. It is a very small camera, I should say.
Of course it is.
And I do remember the doctor saying, there's no need to panic because all we do is insert a small telescope. And I'm saying, hang on, when you say small, because when I hear the word telescope, I'm thinking of the one from The Ghost and Mrs. Muir. That one. So, but it is very, very tiny. I will let you know it's very tiny.
Lovely. Oh. Have we covered men's health, boys?
Sorry.
No.
Grubby is looking quite peaky.
The girls are okay in the room, but
what was that phrase we used at the beginning? Awareness. We're raising awareness.
That's it. Well
Thank
done
you,
to you, boys.
Sorry. By the way, the book is not all things like that.
I'm surprised that you have called this book A Nest of Occasionals and left off the word tables because that got you into trouble some years ago. Do explain, please.
Well, I used to write radio. When I started in radio, I had to write 120 radio ads every couple of weeks, and you run out of phrases. You run out of phrases like there's never been a better time to ... But then it was FM was coming in. So you'd remember this, Grubby, before FM, AM radio ads were all sort of, JB, you've done it again. All that sort of...
Very much so.
Really and
very
the client so. Wanted 20 products mentioned in 30 seconds.
Yes.
And then FM started and it was all really smooth. And everything had to be as though the ads were written by the Eagles.
That's right.
And so you had to have less words, but the client still wanted as many things mentioned in 30 seconds. Right. So I had to do an ad and one of the things I had to mention was Nest of Occasional Tables, $79.95.
Yeah.
And I've just gone, you have to lose words.
Sure.
You're just cutting words. So I got it down to A Nest of Occasionals, $79.95.
Well, you can't lose the price.
Well, the guy went nuts. He's calling going, you've got a nest of nothing. People don't know. They need to hear the word tables. They need to picture them in their mind all snugly nested within each other. And so there was massive trouble. I was nearly sacked for that.
Yeah.
And I figured that, you know, now, 25 years later, a phrase that had caused so much trouble could be re-employed as the title of a book.
And it must have been successful, the advertising campaign, because there's not a house in Australia or New Zealand for that matter that doesn't have a Nest of Occasionals, I believe.
Absolutely.
Tony Martin, please make yourself comfortable. We'd like to talk to you further about A Nest of Occasionals.
Thank you.
On your book.
7 to 9, go 104.3. Gold 104.3, good times and great classic hits, the Grubby and Didi Breakfast Show, 7 to 9, and all morning we've been saying anyone who rings the program today, Tony Martin, and is non-abusive and gets on air, goes into the draw for a couple of tickets.
Narrowed it down a little bit, actually. There was only one in the end.
Hey, it's Saturday tickets, and Carol Hill from Morty Alec, who was our $1,000 free money minute winner.
When you say winner, she won $60 and then she played double or nothing and lost the lot. But she and her silly friend Shannon.
That's right.
Between the two of them.
Working in the nursery, they amused
us great
greatly.
Sports, yeah.
Good sport. So enjoy Hey Hey It's Saturday, Carol and Shannon, on Wednesday night. Should you wish to take them, I'll just slide back and put this. You talk to
them. I just have to say Hey Hey It's Saturday. They've got most of the cast back together. I see Aussies coming back.
Yes.
Where is Animal? Where's the drummer Animal?
Apparently. We asked. It's going to happen.
Really?
Because I couldn't believe that he was still alive because I actually thought that he was dead back then and they just propped him up.
Des McKenna.
Is that his real name?
Des McKenna.
And he's somebody... Is he related to somebody?
Yes, he is.
Can we say on air?
Rick McKenna.
Rick McKenna's brother?
Rick McKenna. Yes, he is. Rick McKenna. For those who aren't familiar,
Gina Raley's
married husband. To Gina Raley.
Gina Raley's husband used to run The Last Laugh.
That's right. That's exactly. Right. Back in the day.
But hang on. So he is definitely alive because his last known appearance was in Houseboat Horror, in the film Houseboat Horror, which was literally 20 years ago.
Yeah, that's with Gavin Wood, I think, also starred in
Houseboat
Horror.
That's great improvisational acting. Look it up on YouTube. Sorry, I don't know if that's breakfast material. What's going on? You were also saying people should go to New York. Who's going to New York?
Oh, no, I've just been, and I've got slides, so I'm showing them
How
today.
How did you go?
It's a special. Good. I loved it. Have you ever been?
I've been twice, and my advice for anyone going to New York is go into, like, a really busy part of the street. Walk up the street talking to yourself and singing at the top of your voice. Nobody pays any attention.
No one does.
I walked two blocks singing on the sunny side of the street in a Frank Sinatra impression at the top of my voice. It was like being invisible.
That's the thing I noted at Times Square, where there were so many people and everyone's moving, but it's in this weird sort of silent synchronicity and the mad ones. I've got pictures of mad folk that were there. I couldn't resist to taking pictures. Back to the book.
Yes, sorry.
Tony Martin. There's a little thread in it which is quite sweet, or I find it very touching, where you were looking for your grandfather, is that right?
Yeah, well, I went back to the town that I'm from for the first time in 38 years, and I'd always been told that my grandfather had founded and edited the local newspaper, which was complete rubbish, it turns out. He was just one of the typesetters.
Oh, come on.
But
all that time.
But you were a font man yourself.
But I didn't know that he was a typesetter, and he was a typesetter for 67 years. He sat at a typesetting machine literally for 67 years and was famous for never once making a spelling mistake.
I love
in that 67-year-old period.
I'm a stickler for spelling.
And so I went descended from nerds, of course. I knew it. And apparently there was one time where there was a word spelt wrong, but he found a dictionary where it showed that it could be spelt two ways.
Oh.
But then I worked as a typographer, and worked with typesetters when I first left school for a year and a half. So I dropped short of his record by 65 and a half years, sadly.
But you kicked on all right, Tony.
Yes, well, so I do love a good font.
And how do your family... Now, well, who was your nana in the hospital that you went to see?
My grandmother, she was a very... Well, it's funny because you don't want to say that your grandmother wasn't a very nice person, but she was notoriously awful.
Is she still alive?
She died in 1994, but I was stopping old people in the street. Many of them just on those little scooters and asking if they knew my grandmother. And the phrase that I most often heard was disruptive. Poisonous was used a few times.
About your nana?
No, about my grandmother.
Not about me. You don't want to hear that about your nana, though.
You poisonous young man. No, nobody. And extremely nasty was mentioned.
Gee.
And then there was one guy who just dropped an obscenity and accelerated towards the horizon. And then there was claims. Three people told me that she'd tried to sue them over the course of several years. And my aunt claimed that my grandmother had tried to burn her house down.
Jeez. So her obituary, was she described as colourful and feisty?
That's what it would have been, colourful. Yes. And quite a character. The nicest thing I heard was quite a character.
Well, and that's tainted badly. Quite a character means done something awful at some stage to somebody and got away with it. Well, and that's occasional. It's a book that won't offend anybody here, mainly in New Zealand, I think, by the sound of it.
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
But once again, congratulations on a great read, following up. And Tony Martin, it's always been a pleasure to have you in.
Thanks, I love coming in here.
Medical procedures, whatever you wish to talk about.
Cheers.
Thanks, Tony.
Haggy's next with the Gold 104 Classic Countdown.